is critical. Ontario support our local rural college for our healthcare and manufacturing workforce in the Bay of Quinte. Niles and other rural colleges are in dire financial situation. Lewis is looking at a projected $40 million gross revenue loss for the 2025-26 year. I feel the college's financial problems are a direct result of provincial underfunding since the Ford government was elected. Ontario's funding for post-secondary institutions is the lowest of all Canadian provinces. Lewis just laid off 20% of the workforce. The province actually has frozen the base amounts paid to the colleges. I met with the president and got all this information from him. The cuts tuitions were 10%, and they also froze the tuition after. But the province didn't provide any additional funding to replace the cuts. Lewis has discontinued a lot of the programs offered, like the culinary program. What good is freezing tuition rates if local students have to travel somewhere else to get their education, thus local students now having to pay for accommodations and travel, which they probably can't afford? We need to help Lewis College with committed funding to ensure they don't close and know they have the funding to run their programs for multiple years. If Lewis closes, there would be dire consequences for our entire Bay of Quinte region, providing staffing for local businesses, transit revenue. A lot of students come to Belleville and stay in the area after graduation. It provides local industries with trained workers, provides our hospital with trained healthcare professionals. If it closed, a lot of low-income individuals would not be able to afford post-secondary education. The culinary program provided local restaurants with trained staff. Now the program has been cut.
Okay, so education is very near and dear to my heart. I have three children who are in the public education system right now. I'm also a school board trustee with Hastings and Prince Edward District School Board. So the reality is we have lost 5,000 classroom educators since 2018. And while funding for education is up overall, per pupil funding when indexed to inflation is down $1,500 a student per year. So school boards are having to make really tough decisions because I'm not sure how many people are aware, but when funding comes down to the school boards, a lot of it is really tightly enveloped around whatever priorities are made by the government of the day. So it's getting harder and harder to fill those gaps and to move funding around in a way that makes sure our classrooms are supporting teachers and students and families. We also know that we have kids coming to school hungry, and schools are really the backstop for a lot of the social problems that we're seeing right now and a lot of our issues. The NDP has a plan to introduce a universal school food program, hopefully in conjunction with the federal government, if that money does flow. We also have plans to index special education funding and allocate it based on need. So right now, the special education funding formula is very broken. So it's very hard to be able to offer the support needed by our special education students and families when we are stretched very thin for dollars. We also have plans to introduce an emergency safe schools plan. So we know violence in schools is rising. Talk to any educator or education worker right now, and that's one of the number one reasons we're seeing so much burnout and so much loss in our workforce with respect to education. So we would be looking to address that with really doing online reporting tools so we can understand the scope, because right now it's a very unknown. We know it's a big problem, but we haven't been really tracking what violence in schools is looking like, and also providing funding for comprehensive training for our educators so everybody's prepared. We'd be looking to fix the transportation funding model, because again, that's something that is very broken right now, and having a board like Hastings, where it's a lot of rural schools, a lot of rural families, people rely on transportation, and the new funding formula that was released a few years ago actually has, or I think maybe a year ago now, we're over $1 million short for a transportation budget already, and that number will go down because we actually are our funding formula has actually resulted in us receiving less than we had a couple of years ago. So over the next 5 years, it will get less and the transportation situation will get dire. So for anybody whose kids or grandkids are relying on school buses, it's going to get worse if we don't fix that funding formula. As for post-secondary education, Obviously, we know there's a lot of challenges there. NDP is committed to restoring the $1.4 billion needed by our post-secondary education sector and working with colleges to ensure they have stable and long-term funding to be able to offer the diverse programming that communities like ours, especially rural communities like ours, need. Thank you.
Well, as I mentioned in my introduction, I have three children under five, so education is something that's very much top of mind for our family as well. And this Ontario PC government has made some meaningful changes to education, not just in terms of the funding, which is up to $29 billion and increased $745 million this year, also $21 million additional for special education programs as well. But we've also gone to more of a back-to-the-basics approach. You know, getting some of those life skills back in schools, which have been sorely missing for a long period of time. We brought the Ontario Youth Apprenticeship Program back to grade 10 so that kids can start their journey into the trades earlier, as we know we have a significant shortage of skilled trade professionals, and that starts right at the high school level and then through community colleges, which I'll talk about in a minute. We've also reintroduced home economics programs, more shop class programs, and also financial literacy and competency, which is something that was sorely lacking for a long period of time, where students weren't being taught about how taxes work, how savings work, what investments are, things of that nature. That's now being taught much earlier in school, which makes a big difference on the outcomes for those students as they continue through their career and into their adult life. We've also increased mental health funding in schools by 500%, and now it's a year-long program. It doesn't take a break in the summer because we know that the pressures that a lot of our kids are under have caused significant mental health challenges. And so we've invested heavily in mental health for the school sector. And including, we're also building new schools as well, which is something that hadn't happened for a long time. And under the previous government, a number of smaller, more rural schools closed. So we've got a renovated school at St. Joseph's in Belleville, a couple brand new schools in the county, including the new St. Gregory School, which is being built, new East Hill School and Murray Centennial in Trenton will also be replaced and rebuilt, offering students a much better quality of education in a brand new, renovated, much cleaner, and much more technologically advanced facility. Again, helping them get used to the environments that they will be in once they graduate. Now, as it relates to post-secondary funding, I've had extensive conversations with the President, Mark Kirkpatrick, at Loyalist College. He, in fact, does not lay the blame for this at the feet of the provincial government. You can listen to his Lauren Brooker interview. He's very clear about that. But this has been a historic issue. But the challenge that we're having right now, and the reason we have the crisis that we have right now, is because the funnel for international students has effectively dried up due to comments made by Mark Miller, the federal immigration minister, where he has been running down colleges in Canada, not differentiating them properly between funded community colleges as well as private colleges, which often have more significant troubles. And so what we're finding is that in smaller centers, those international students are wanting to come anymore. The larger cities will still be able to attract them, but clearly with this issue, it'll be about 5 to 7 years before that rebound. We need to find solutions for small, northern, and rural colleges and get them the funding that they need. From the conversation I've had with Mark, I know exactly what he needs now. I know what they need into the future, and I look forward to advocating for that as soon as I get back to Queen's Park. Thank you.
Well, it's really wonderful to hear, and I hope you all heard that every person at this table has agreed to increase funding for our education system. And so this is amazing, right? We're going to be working together collaboratively to get this situation fixed. I will say, despite the money that Tyler has mentioned putting into the education system, we're still funded at the lowest level of any province in Canada per capita-based funding. So the first thing Greens will do, similar to the NDP, $1,500 per student across the board funding into the schools from public schools and high schools. We have to, if we don't have a well-educated workforce, we don't have a working economy. It's that simple. It's the best investment you can make. So I'm glad that we're all on board for that. I will say that I have looked into the Loyalist College situation and the university situation. And we have the lowest funding, surprise, surprise, of any province in Canada for our post-secondary schools. We fund them at 57% of every other province in Canada. That means we need to increase our funding by over 43% just to get to where everyone else is. And so our post-secondary institutions were forced to try to make up that difference by bringing in foreign exchange students and charging them a high tuition, much higher than what our Canadian students pay. So while Doug Ford held tuition levels low for Canadian students, he did not fund those institutions. In community colleges, I don't know if you guys remember, but I'm old, so I remember, community colleges, the thing about them that was amazing is they are training people in the communities that they live in, so they don't have to spend all that money. The biggest expense is not tuition when you go to school, it's living in an apartment, it's groceries, that's the cost, living away from home. So we need our community colleges to be giving a fulsome curriculum. We shouldn't be cutting our curriculums, we need to fund them. And as Greens, we agree to increase the funding to the levels of other Canadian provinces. It has to be done, and it's nice to see that all of us are on the same page on this one. Thank you.
Next question will be starting with Amanda. I know, it's a little confusing. Road conditions, waterworks, and other infrastructure issues have been a hot topic in the county recently. What will you do to assist the municipality to maintain and improve on crumbling facilities, financial shortcomings, and improve municipal planning?
Yeah, so I'm really excited about this question, actually, because the NDP has proposed, and I mentioned it before, a new deal for municipalities. So it would be re-uploading the responsibility of healthcare, housing, and infrastructure from our municipalities that has been unfairly downloaded over the last decade or so. So for example, County Road 49, I know this government has committed to offering a portion of what that's going to cost to fix, but the NDP has already committed to re-uploading that road and paying for it in full.
Get so it back, white hair.
We also recognize that if we're taking some of these responsibilities off of the plate of our municipalities, they'll have more opportunity to do the things that they are supposed to be focused on, which is liaising with their constituents and making sure that your needs are met on a community level. So really, our new deal for municipalities is kind of the centerpiece for solving a lot of these infrastructure challenges, because we know small communities like Wellington, like Prince Edward County, they don't have the ratepayers to cover that type of infrastructure project. So what happens is you raise your taxes higher and higher and higher, and some of these bigger centers, they can get away with that because they have a lot of ratepayers. But for rural communities and smaller communities, without that support from the province and without the province taking back those responsibilities, which do fall under the provincial umbrella, we're going to continue to struggle. We're going to continue to have our municipal taxes increase. And we're going to continue to be lacking in some of the services that the municipalities want to be able to offer their constituents, because they are focusing a lot of energy, a lot of staff resources on problem solving, how to do things that are next to impossible. So thank you.
Well, we know that infrastructure is certainly a significant challenge for municipalities, and certainly municipalities like Prince Edward County, where you have a small population base and a very large geography. And so that's why our government has put forth billions of dollars in different funding envelopes, whether it's the Housing Enabling Water Systems Fund, for which $18.3 million was recently received for Wellington for upgrades to their water treatment plant. Also, the Housing Enabling Core Services stream. Again, that was something that you were a recipient of, $20 million towards County Road 49, which was a critical project, and we recognized the need for that and came up with $20 million of funding. And we know that municipalities can't grow without having that infrastructure in the ground. So we've made those programs widely available throughout the riding. We're continuing to invest in infrastructure because we understand that it's very difficult for municipalities to do it on their own. These projects are very expensive at times. We're looking at the Belleville East Arterial Road in the city of Belleville to connect the 401 to the industrial park. That project would be about a $60 to $70 million project. and we're going to step up and help them fund that as well. We're currently doing environmental assessments on that site, and we're paying for those as well because the municipality has some concerns there. So we've been a very good partner to municipalities from an infrastructure standpoint, and we'll continue to be there for municipalities to help them grow, to build up their communities, to make sure we're taking care of the crumbling infrastructure that we have been left with after 15 years of the Liberal government. And we have made those investments and we'll continue to do so. Thank you very
much. Peanuts!
What does that mean? I'm sorry.
Throw them peanuts!
Well, infrastructure is a huge issue, right? We're here in the county. They want to build a $300 million new water treatment plant. And the government of Doug Ford gave you $18.3 million, leaving you with $282 million. Two elections in 6 months because all these announcements come just pre-election. But as Greens, we do have a plan to upload infrastructure costs, especially for rural communities. We understand, you know, Doug Ford, he's focused on pulling out bike lanes in the Toronto and building $50 billion tunnels under Toronto. But, you know, Greens, we're here for the rural communities. We understand that you guys have needs and you need help with your infrastructure costs. So we are going to be uploading half of the cost of rural hospital builds. We're going to be increasing funding to rural hospitals so that they can attract the doctors, nurses, and PSWs that they need. And we're going to be, let me just double check, a $2 billion a year climate adaptation fund. And I can tell you how big that is. Because as climate change accelerates, which we know that it is, this summer we had 1 hour of very hard rain in Belleville, and we lost power to most of the city. My office where I work one day a week, it was that day, they closed, so nobody got to see their cardiologist that day. So what is the cost of closing all these businesses and having all of these people without power for one day? We need to be more resilient. We need to think about what type of sewers we need, what kind of rain holding issues you can have. Blue rooms for people, lots of larger infrastructure. It's made to hold the snow load, it could also hold the water load, and we can release that water more slowly. And we need to protect our wetlands. We need to be very careful with our green spaces. Those are what are protecting us.
Councillor, I feel municipalities need a lot more support for infrastructure projects and developments. Everyone in the county knows that County Road 49 has been in deplorable shape for a long time, and in spite of multiple requests, the road being voted by CA as the worst road in Ontario, is only January 24th, on the eve of the election announcement, that the Conservative government finally agreed and announced $20 million to assess repair work. Municipalities need stable, committed funding, not periodic handouts based on I don't know what the criteria is used now. Like Lori, I feel the only reason the $20 million funding was announced was that Doug Ford is worried about his party losing the Bay of Quinte riding and decided to hand out taxpayer funds to try and save the Conservative seat for his riding. Municipals need an equitable formula determining funding to be received so they can more easily determine projects to commence. I believe in the past, the funding was one-third from the province, one-third from the federal government, and one-third from the municipality. This would be a much fairer way to fund it, as far as I'm concerned. The mayor of Tweed, Don DeGenova, announced a 2025 year 15% tax increase for his municipality. Tweed has not received any infrastructure funding from either the federal or provincial governments since he has been elected. This is not fair or equitable. I will work hard to try and put a fair system in place. The federal government also needs to step up to the table to provide more funding for us. I found it interesting that it was said that 1.7 million was spent on hospitals, but you spent 1.9 million to speed up the sale of booze sales.
Yeah.
For infrastructure. And the other is.
Please don't talk.
Thank you. And when you talked about putting people in shelter housing, I'm on the Hastings County Community Services Board, and I'd like to know where that community housing is,
yes.
Because
yes.
There's a shortage of that.
So we're moving on to our final question and our concluding statement. So our final question is there anything you would like to say that we haven't already covered?
Oh, are you asking the audience? Oh, no.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. It's been a pleasure to be here tonight. I really appreciate everyone coming out and supporting democracy and being available for this type of presentation. Because we don't get to do these very often, and to have all the candidates here expressing their platforms, I think is a really valuable thing ahead of the election. You know, the only thing that I didn't think we got to touch on, there was a question here about municipal transparency as it related to Prince Edward County. And I think that the issue that most was emblematic of that challenge was the MZO request and the settlement agreement with Picton Terminals.
Yep.
That is something, I think there was a couple of oohs in the room, that's something maybe a few of you want to talk about.
Yeah.
So that's something that I feel should be addressed by the municipality. I've made that clear to the minister as well in our conversations that I think that that should be done through an open, transparent planning process at the municipality with feedback from residents. There's some great things that are going on there, including the grain terminals and the ability for farmers to get their products to open markets. But I think that that issue is a municipal issue, and I would like to see it reverted back to the municipality, and that's the only thing I think that we did get to touch on tonight that I wanted to talk about. Thank you very much. I hope you all have a great night, and whoever you vote for, and I heard the room, it may not be me, and that's okay. February 27th, go out, make your voices heard, go vote, and thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thank you very much. So it's hard for me to just pick one thing I want to talk about because there's so many things. But I do appreciate Tyler talking about the Picton terminals because that is a really important issue. And it shouldn't just be gone through an MZO process. It really needs to have full environmental assessment. And that's really support. And this is what I also want to stress. So often with politics, it's like people think things are a win-lose scenario. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be a win-win scenario. There's no reason why we can't stop taking down the cliff face of Picton terminals and still have grain elevators for our farmers.
Yeah.
It's not a win-lose. It can be a win-win. And there's no reason why every party can't work together to solve the problems we see here. So I'm committed to continuing to work as hard as I can for the needs of our community, and I will be hopeful that whoever is the MPP would be doing the same. And I hope that whoever is the MPP going forward on February 27th will be welcoming me into their office so I can discuss issues with them face to face. I would love that. And I think that if everyone did that, we could have an amazing province of Ontario.
Thank you, Lori. I think that's a great attitude to have, and I agree with you 100%. With regard to the minister's zoning orders, I'd just like to explain what it is for people that may not know. What it is it allows the housing minister to make changes to land zoning rules override municipal decisions and, in theory, fast-track housing projects. And I feel it's been used far too much by the Ford government. The Auditor General says the MZO tool was used 114 times from 2019 to 2023, a 17-fold increase from the previous 20 years. We need more assessments and not just fast-track it without any choices or ramifications of what the choices are. I care deeply about getting our region the services and support that families need. I'm here to work with you to represent all citizens in the Bay of Quinte riding and bring back positive change, ultimately making our region an even better place to live. I feel Doug Ford has been a terrible manager of our taxpayer dollars. He and his conservatives are not in it for Ontario. They put their friends first and Ontario families last. This snap election is unnecessary early expense. Ontario taxpayers $189 million. Ford has 16 months left in his mandate. He should be fighting the tariffs. He quit his job just when the people of Ontario needed a premier the most.
So again, thank everybody. Thank you guys all for being here tonight. It's been a real treat, I will say, to be able to answer these questions and listen to some of my competitors here. But really, I think the role of MPP is to be your representative, to be your voice at Queen's Park. I think for too long we have lived with representation that is coming to us and telling us what's happening in Toronto versus bringing our voice, not just our issues. I think our issues are very well known by the government. I think they're very well known by everybody. But bringing our solutions. We know what we need. You know what you need. Our healthcare workers know. Our education workers know. Our farmers know. They just need somebody who's willing to take some of those solutions and really advocate for them at Queen's Park. I think the biggest role we can play with respect to transparency and communication on a municipal level is really modeling that as the provincial representation. So if we are having respectful and reliable relationships with our municipal partners, it's going to allow them to have respectful and reliable relationships with their constituents. And I think that piece has been missing very sorely in communities like Prince Edward County and across the Bay of Quinte. But really, our New Deal for Municipalities is going to help lighten the load for municipal partners so that they're able to spend time on connecting with their constituents. But as an MPP, it also is important to be there at the town halls, at the council meetings where tough decisions and conversations are happening, because we know we're not always all going to get along. But as an MPP, you need to be aware of all of the voices. And to get those, you can't just be showing up at the fun fairs. You can't just be showing up when you're making an announcement. You need to be there for those hard conversations and those tough discussions that are happening. So as your MPP, that is what I would be committed to doing, because I think that is what is needed when we're talking local representation. You need to be actually understanding the community that you are representing. So if that is of interest to you, I encourage you to vote for Amanda Robertson and the Ontario NDP on February 27th. It's also my birthday, so it will be extra special. Leader in Marit Stiles. She has a vision that is forward moving, that is a positive pathway, and it really truly will start to address a lot of our issues by refocusing policy and process on the people who live and work in our communities. So that is you guys, that is me, that is us, and I'm very excited at the prospect of having that opportunity. So thank you all for being here tonight.
Questions for the evening. I want to thank all of you for coming out tonight and participating in this. It's been extremely informative. And with that, I'm going to pass it off to Joe for our closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone. I think we can all agree we've had an incredibly informative evening and a unique opportunity to hear from each of the four candidates come here in Wellington and hear their different approaches to a broad range of questions. So I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming out tonight and taking the time out of your schedule and providing the information that we're seeking here.